Morning, everyone. The Old Testament lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 5 through 9. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words you have prophesied come true, and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord, and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing, and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. "Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, and if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure." This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person, because he is a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of Jesus. Well, today I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I don't always start off with stories about myself. This is a thing with a lot of sermons and a lot of preachers. I tend to stay away from starting too many sermons that way because I grew up hearing too many stories. But these grapes behind me help actually share a little bit of our Romans reading as we continue to work through Romans, as well as a little bit about me. You see, you may not know this, but I used to be a camp counselor for several years in college, though I had never attended a camp as a student to go and like do a summer camp getaway. I had a friend who said, "Oh, you need a summer job? Don't worry, my brother, he's in charge of a camp, and they need someone who knows about sports. You know sports. Come along, it'll be fine." So I went, and it was great. I got to teach kids how to do different athletics, and we had fun swimming and hiking and doing all these great things. But the one part of the week, every week, that I was always a little concerned about was the part when you would lead the kids out on a hike and you would go on this nature walk and explain all the different plants to them. Because, you see, I'm terrible at that. I can tell you what is an evergreen tree and a deciduous tree and what's a mushroom. Those are the things I stop at generally. I can tell you a little bit here and there. I've grown accustomed to some plants, but man, I'm not good. Kids would ask, what's this over here? Hey, why don't you come over here, John? Tell us what this is over here. I don't know. You can explain it better than me, considerably better. I don't know. It's a growing thing on the ground. That's about as far as I would get. One of these days, I'll tell you the fun story I remembered about how to understand what lichen is, and I would be able to tell you how lichen becomes something, but I can't even point it out half the time what is lichen. So I'm really not good at this game. Some of you might be much better at this game than I am. If you look behind me, I've got two sets of things that look like delicious grapes. One of them is delicious grapes, and one of them is not delicious grapes that would not be good for you. If some of you are good at this game, you might already know. I am not good at this game. Like I said, I had to ask Christina to do the work for me, much like asking over another camp counselor. I think we have another slide up after this, so you can decide now which one you think is the correct grapes that you would eat if you were in the wilderness and if you were hungry and you needed something to sustain yourself, and which thing, if you ate it in the wilderness, like me, you'd be seeing Jesus faster. So make your decision now, and we'll reveal the answers now. There you are. Very good. Hey. If you guessed left, you would be correct. I would have just eaten both, and it would... You see, on the left, you have some delicious wild grapes, and on the right, you have moon seed, which does all sorts of bad things to your stomach. Google told me it's great. If you are out hunting and foraging in the wilderness for some sort of fruit to keep you alive, you would perhaps want to know what you're looking for. If you're looking to try to find something that would bring you life versus something that would bring you suffering, you would go and look for instruction manuals or find other people who could teach you and train you. You would want to know what you're getting is a fruit that would give you life versus a fruit that would give you death. The same is true not just of foraging for grapes in the wilderness. By the way, I'm bad at it in California. Don't ask me to try to find you real grapes in Oregon. I don't know. If I'm bad at it where I grew up, I'm not going to be good at it here either. But you would find someone who does know, someone who can teach you, someone who immediately knew when they looked at the screen. I saw some heads like bobbing, like, I know what I'm going to choose, before I even asked the question. You would find someone who knows what brings you life and what is going to give you what you need to sustain yourself versus that which would not do what you want. In Romans chapter 7, we get to see again a phrase that Paul had used before in chapter 6, something about a fruit that is that would bring death. Rather, there's a fruit that would bring death, and then there is a fruit that is of God. These two different fruits, two different things that we would want to find and direct ourselves to. He starts off in Romans chapter 7, laying the law really heavy. Really pounding us with something that hits a lot of people deeply. In Romans chapter 7, it begins by saying, "The law is binding on a person only as long as he lives." And then in verse 2, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. And he's just speaking straight law and straight fact. And that straight law and straight fact is not a bad fact. It is not a bad law. And yet it's one that will hurt many people in their heart and in their mind, because we know that since Paul brought it up, even as an example then, it has not been a law that has been fully followed by all of us. It is a law that is meant to cut us to our heart, cut us to our core, and tell us, you have broken the law. For anyone who would read this and feel hurt by it, that's what it's trying to do. For anyone who would read it and say, at least Paul brought up an example I haven't yet broken. May you not. These examples of the law in their pure form show us that truly we do not follow the law perfectly. We do not follow it well. We don't follow it even partly good more often than not. God's law stands firm and true, and it points you to death. The law is not bad, but it sure points out that we cannot produce from the law that which we need to give us life. For anyone who would try to live up to the law, thinking, if I do these things, if I really take the Bible as a list of do's and don'ts, and that's all I get from it, if I just do all the things rightly and I don't do the things I'm not supposed to do, then I'll be just fine. That understanding leads you to the moon seat on the right side. You see, God's law, which is good and holy, there is a phrase about it that I grew up knowing. Some of you may already know, too. I'll see if I see head bobs about this. I don't know grapes, but I know, children's analogies and things for stories. The law, SOS, shows us our sin. Separately, then, the gospel, SOS, shows us our Savior. The law shows you your sin and puts it in front of you and says, have you lived up perfectly to God? Can you attain life on your own? And if we're being honest, we cannot. We might try to deceive ourselves and deceive others even by saying, look how good I am at following God's law. I am good, right, and holy. That's only a deception that leads to the fruit of death. This is why we're very thankful for the continuation of Romans 7 in verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, just like the ones who died in the previous example of the law, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. So as those who are trying to live by the law, our own sinfulness is only bearing fruit that would give death. But for those who have died to the law, died to trying to follow the law perfectly, those who have died with Christ, which the Bible tells us happens in baptism. When you're baptized into his death, and you are then raised to new life as he was raised from the grave. As those who are baptized children of God, those who've died to their sinfulness, those who live with Christ, the fruit of death is no longer what comes through you, but the fruit of life. We have found the real, true, perfect camp counselor, the one who can direct us to the fruit that we need, the one who shows us, he gives us the fruit that we need. He is the one who gives us the life that would sustain us. And he is the one who, God be praised, through even you, through even me, would deliver that fruit and that life-giving gift to other people. I love that we have all of our different ways to use our chancel art to point out God's goodness and his glory throughout the seasons. You may have noticed that for the last few weeks here, since the word fruit had appeared in our readings, actually, the cross, which can change colors of light, has been surrounded by a purple light. I like that it kind of matches with those purple grapes directly behind with the cross that has these grapes growing off of that vine. I've said it before, I've said it many times, you'll have to live with it. We're Christ the vine, and our fellowship hall is called the grape room. I will refer to the grapes many times, it is okay. That fruit that comes from the cross, that fruit that comes from our Savior who died in our place, that fruit is the one that sustains us, and is the fruit that grows out of us. Not because we follow him perfectly, but because as followers of Christ, he'll make that come out of you anyway. The gospel reading has us talking about these prophets who would follow and the people who would go and share the gospel of Jesus, to share his word, and how anyone who receives them would receive this reward. Anyone who hears and receives the gospel from a follower of Christ does receive a reward, does receive a great gift. They receive that gospel, the gospel that shows us our Savior, the one who can save us from our sins, the one that truly does give us what we need. We cannot follow the law. We cannot attain life. But Jesus Christ, who's given it to you and me, will give it to other people. We continue to be the terrible counselors who say, well, I can't save you. I can't show you. I can't make for you what you need, but I can point you to the one who can do it for us. We can point people to God's word. We can point people to the truth of what he has to give us. We get to tell people, I know someone who can give to you what you need for life. Thankfully, that's not up to us either to make it happen. Just like you can't save yourself by manufacturing life, you also can't save somebody else by you making them have faith and you making them have life. You get to bring Jesus to them. You get to bring God's word to them, and he will continue to do the work in their hearts. He will be the one to give them what they need for life. Now that fruit, as we talked about it many times, I didn't want to give this word to us too much because it's a hard one for me to say even, and I'm not going to trust that you're going to remember it like some of the other words that we've worked through with Greek. The word for fruit in Greek is karpophoresai. That's a nice easy one for you, right? I'm sure you're going to remember it. Next Sunday I'll say, what was the Greek word we learned last week? Oh, karpophoresai, the fruit word. There we go. The fruit of faith in Jesus is righteousness, holiness, and salvation. The fruit that you've been given in Christ's death is righteousness and holiness. It's that which before God has you looking like a perfect follower of the law. The karpophoresai that comes out of you is his righteousness and his holiness, which continues to go into the whole world to save other people. The rest of our Romans reading continues to talk then about what that bad fruit would look like and what it would do. In verse 9, Paul says, I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. To the very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. Remember, follow this law. I will be your God and you'll be my people. That is life, right? And yet, it proved to be death because we cannot follow the law. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and it killed me. This is the Paul who would tell us later in a different book, in Philippians, that he really thought, I am pretty good at following this law. And yet, his pride, thinking he could do it well, was only deceiving and killing him. This is from Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Then he lists all of these great things about himself. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He lists seven perfect things, a perfect number of perfect things. Pretty neat. He lists seven perfect things about himself. Look at how good I was. The best camp counselor, the best forager of life-giving fruit, the one who could tell you exactly what you needed to do and could show you through my own life how you can be saved. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. All of the goodness that we could try to attribute to ourselves, all of the perfect following of God, it would only lead to death, because it would deceive us thinking, wow, maybe I really can do this. Maybe I really can live perfectly. The only thing that is of any worth is knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. What a wonderful thing that we have a Savior who has provided that for us, who gives us his word to receive it and to know it. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ is the true vine that we are connected to, through whom life continues to flow. And may the peace of being connected to your Savior continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor, give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.